Good morning. It's Thursday. And I'm excited about Thursdays because I get to invite somebody else to speak instead of me. And this morning I brought, this is good that somebody else is speaking instead of me this morning. I brought another AFCO student with me. I have this morning a John Ewald. And John has done just a little bit of traveling, and I'll let him tell you a little bit more about that. But we're grateful that his travels have led him here.
Come on up, John.
Should I move this microphone a little bit? Or? Okay, there we go. So good morning, everyone. I'll just start with a little word of prayer. So, dear Lord, we come before you today. Having a little morning devotional. We thank you so much for the day, and just pray that you'd be with me in my words, and that you'd use me to bless the people here so that they can go about their work with joy and a purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So like she said, my name is John Ewald. I'm from Minnesota. And basically, I'm just going to tell you my testimony, and hopefully that will be encouraging to some of you. So, I grew up in a Christian home, a pretty good home. We went to church every Sunday. And it was really, for my parents, it was really a long searching time when they were going to these different churches. My parents were kind of poor. After a while, my dad ran into some legal trouble. He didn't do anything wrong, but he got in a lot of trouble. And so basically, they went to this church, and they would find something that they didn't like about the doctrine, and so they would go to this church, and they would stay there for a few years, and then there was a problem. They got into the prosperity movement, and then they got out of the prosperity movement, and they got into the charismatic movement, and they got out of the charismatic movement. And really, a lot of different changes as I was going around my life. We moved around several different houses, and it was kind of hard to keep friends when you're doing something like that, always moving. So for me, it was really difficult. I kind of started to resent going to church. When I was younger, when I was in like middle school, I was really kind of a strong believer. But as the older I got, just some of the disappointments that had happened in my life really, they really kind of took that love away that I had for God. In Minnesota, they have a program called post-secondary, and it's if you have decent grades, you're able to go to college in 11th and 12th grade, and the state will pay for you. So I actually went to a college called Crown College, and it's a missionary college that was actually like 10 miles from my home in Minnesota. It's with the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, and I went there, and just the basically kind of poor lifestyles of the people around me, the many people who I saw that really didn't believe in God and didn't have relationships with Him, even though this is what they were preaching, kind of really led me away, I guess. So my first year of college, I quit going to church. I always still believed in the gospel, if you can really say that. I mean, I believed the Bible was the word of God, and I believed in that Christ was the Son of God, and I believed that He came to the earth to die for my sins, but I just didn't want to go to the church because everyone there was a hypocrite. Nah, so maybe some of you empathize with that story as well. But so either way, I had some pretty tough times in college. My first couple years, I was really lonely. So I actually discovered during this time that I was decently gifted at learning languages. And so I decided that I was going to study German and go to Germany because why? I mean, what else would you want to do with your life than to go to Germany? So I thought this was a good plan. What I did is I just studied a lot. I showed up in class, and I just enrolled for intermediate German. I'd never had a German class before. And the teacher said, "Well, what's your German experience?" She's going around the class. "Oh, I studied in high school 2 years. I did this. I did this." So she got to me. I taught myself on the internet. And she's like, "Okay, well, we'll see how you do." And 2 weeks later, she calls me up to the class, "John, how did you learn German again?" I'm like, "Well, I just taught myself on the internet." Just like, so either way, I did another year in classes, and then I Well, I guess I should back up a little bit. There was this group of Christians on the campus that I'd showed up to once or twice, and they're always trying to pester me to come to their services. And I was like, no, I don't want to go. And so I'd always make up an excuse, like, oh, I have lots of homework. I didn't have homework, but, you know, you just say you have homework or something. And so this one night, they found me, and I'm like, well, no, I have like three projects due. And I honestly, this time I actually had like three projects due. And then somehow, every single one of those projects fell through within the space of about a half an hour. And I was at the library, and I'm like, wow, I don't have anything due anymore. And so I was like, I'm going to go to this service. And I don't know why, but it must have been God leading me to this service. So I went to the service, and they had tons of missionaries there from all over the world talking about these different opportunities in different countries. And I said, wow, this stuff's really interesting. This is really great. Like, I could kind of see that something was different with these people. And so I got a bunch of information and kind of filed it away and was thinking, you know, when I get back from Germany or something like this, I'll look into it and maybe think about doing some kind of student missionary type work, something like that. So I filed it away. I went over to Germany the next year. I had it in my backpack, this big manila folder full of stuff. But basically I forgot about it at that point. I started just kind of hanging out, going to parties and doing all that kind of stuff that people do when they're traveling, studying abroad. You don't actually study when you study abroad, in case people here don't know, but you don't actually do that. So we went, I just remember I was always going to these parties, but I was really putting myself in this kind of observer phase where I was drinking and whatever, but I wasn't really getting very involved in what was going on. I was just kind of there watching. I was like, well, what are these people doing? What are they? I don't know. Maybe God was just protecting me. I'm not really sure. But I was kind of in an observer mode at this point. And I just remember being in a disco at like 2 a.m. and the music's just thumping and thumping. And I'm sitting there with my drink and I'm just looking and I'm like, this is so pointless. I'm just looking. It's so pointless. Why? What am I wasting my time on here? And so I just went back to my philosophy books. I went back to, I was reading like Friedrich Nietzsche, and I was reading Soren Kierkegaard and these existential thinkers. Kierkegaard is interesting, but that's a different story. Anyway, he kind of influenced me because he got to the point where he said there's this sphere of life that's aesthetic, that basically you just do what you like. You know, it doesn't mean that you're immoral, but you just do things for appearance's sake. Then there's the ethical, where you do things for this ethical position that you have. And then there's the religious sphere that no one ever really gets to. But this is when you have like this real relationship with God. But you don't really, the only person who ever got there was like Jesus and maybe Abraham. No one else got there. So either way, I was thinking in the disco, I'm like, this is so pointless. So I went back and I was studying more. Got my Bible out, started reading. I'm like, man, this book is right. This book is true. So I got to figure out what the truth is. So naturally, you have to figure out what church is the correct church, because there's like 1,000 of them. So what I did is, I was telling Eric, I got charts, really big charts. And I had about 20 common denominations running along the top, and maybe like 20 or 30 beliefs running. Like, what do they believe? Do they believe in predestination, or do they believe in, what's the other one? Arminianism. Or do they believe in, what type of baptism do they believe in, what type of this, what type of that? And I had these massive charts, and so I would take a point, and I would study it, see what I could find in the Bible on it, and I'd trace it through the charts and see which denominations believe this. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. Then I just started to read. I was like, well, I know Martin Luther's good, so I'll read Martin Luther. So I read some Martin Luther. It was helpful. You learn some stuff, but then you read some John Calvin. He doesn't agree with Martin Luther. And then it's just the more you study, the more you read, it seems like the deeper you get into, the more lost you feel. You have so much more knowledge, but you don't actually know anything. And so this was really frustrating to me. during this time anyway, I kind of renewed my relationship with God, decided I'm going to go be a missionary like I heard about a year back. So over this time of kind of like praying and figuring out what's going on, I'm like, you know the 1040 window? Does everyone know the 1040 window? It's like these, like 70% of the world's population lives here and no missionaries go there. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to go to China. That's a good place. Then God was like, no, you're not going to go to China. I was like, okay. So I was like, well, I'll go to India. He's like, no, you're not going to go to India. So I kept moving. I'm like, well, I'll go to like Pakistan or Kazakhstan or something like that. He's like, no. And he's like, you're going to the Middle East. I was like, oh, I don't want to go to the Middle East. when I was younger, I really had a dislike for, after 9/11 and that kind of stuff, I really had a dislike for the kind of Arab culture. But either way, somehow God really changed my heart over this course of time. And he said, I was just thinking about the love of God, and you know, he created everybody, and so for me to say that I hate these people, that's the people that he created, even if they don't agree with me culturally or anything like that. And yeah, you just think about what the Bible says about love, and what can you do? So I ended up signing up to go to the Middle East. Basically, I wanted to go right after I came home from Germany, because I was like, I don't want to be at home. I didn't want to go back to my family. I didn't want to go back to college. I just wanted to finish college as quick as possible. I had like a half a year left. Then I was like, I can go to the Middle East and I'll just travel more. I like traveling. It was good. Well, I showed up back home and I didn't get any money for my trip. I got like $500 for my missions trip. It was going to be a year-long trip, maybe a two-year-long trip. And during this time, somehow, I don't know how, somehow I found these videos online. And they were talking about the prophecies in Daniel. And I started going through these, and I was just fascinated by what it was saying. Especially when I found out that this is what the reformers believed. And I actually looked it up. I didn't take the people's word for it. I actually like looked everything up that the people were saying in the books. I went and found the books where, I went and read Martin Luther's book, what is it called? The Babylonian Captivity of the Church. I went and read that to make sure that these people weren't making stuff up. So I went through Daniel, I went through parts of Revelation, and I was just blown back by it. I couldn't believe what I was reading. And I didn't know who was making these videos. I had no idea. I think God protected me from knowing what denomination was behind these videos, because I had no clue. Eventually, I got to a video that was talking about the state of the dead. And I studied this myself as well, with universalism and things like this. And so that really shocked me. And then I found out stuff about the Sabbath, and I said, that's ridiculous. And so what I did with that is I just put that video off to the side, and I kept watching the other ones. And then eventually, like a month later, I came back to the Sabbath video. And I watched that, and I said, yeah, it makes a little bit of sense, but it's still dumb. I'm not gonna do that. Push it off to the side again. And slowly over time, I ended up rewatching that video on the Sabbath probably about every month for 6 months. And I was in school still. Again, I ended up going back to finish a second major, and I decided that this is correct. And I'd never been to the church one time, and I'd never talked to a Seventh-day Adventist in my life. And I decided that this is correct. And so what I did is I said, I'm going to go to the church. I'm going to see what they say at the church, because you can read really bad stuff about Adventists online. But the last 6 months, I've been studying all of these videos, and they're correct. There's just no way around it. And so I went to the church, and I got a copy of Great Controversy, and I read it, and I said that this is correct. I started keeping Sabbath, kind of, and I still had a job at night, but I ended up actually going over to Jordan with all these thoughts in my head. I was thinking about just quitting, saying I'm not even gonna go, I'm just gonna go back to school at some Adventist college or something. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I ended up going over to Jordan anyway. I think it was, there's definitely some positive aspects to it, but also some negative aspects to it as well. So I lived in Jordan for a year. And during this time, I encountered a lot of resistance from the organization I was with, because it was just basically a multi-denomination Christian organization that I was with, and I encountered a lot of resistance when they found out that I was going to the Adventist church. They were not happy. And basically, I really wanted to have friends there, really wanted to have people to hang out with. So I stopped, I kind of fell away from the Adventist church that I hadn't joined. and I still believed it, but I just couldn't put it into practice. And then this new pastor came from Egypt to teach. He became the new pastor of the Amman church, the Amman Seventh-day Adventist church. His name is Fadi Fakhouri, and his name means redeemer. And he came and became my friend. And I didn't miss a single Sabbath since he came. And so that was really great. So then he's telling me, he's like, John, you got to go learn. You got to do some stuff. I'm like, okay. Well, I should go to Andrews. That's a good school. And I looked at the price for Andrews. I said, I'm not going to Andrews. And then either way, somehow I ended up finding out about AFCO. And I signed up for AFCO. It says on the sheet, you know, you fill out your testimony and everything. It says, are you a baptized member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Yes or no? So I just said no, because I'm not. And then I get an email back a couple weeks later, and it's like, when's your date of baptism? And I'm like, oh. And then I talked to a guy back home. He said, oh, I think you need it. I'm like, oh, okay. So I was actually planning on getting baptized when I came back home to the States, because I wanted my family to be around. But there wasn't much time left, because I just got back. I got back from Jordan like 2 weeks or 2 months ago. So I talked to Fatty. I'm like, Fatty, I need to get baptized. He's like, okay, we will baptize you in the Jordan River. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I guess I always knew it was an option, but it was just, I honestly didn't really want to do it, because I thought it was too, it's almost kind of pretentious, like I'm going to go get baptized in the Jordan River, but it was pretty cool. It is. yeah, and the guy who baptized me was a former terrorist who Jesus had appeared to, and he became a big pastor over there, but I'm not going to say his name. But he actually knew Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the head of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. He was friends with him at one point. So, so I got baptized in the Jordan River, and that was 2 months and 3 days ago. And really, really, I'm so happy. So now I'm at AFCO learning, but that's a different story now. But really, I just want to encourage all of you with Amazing Facts wasn't the people who made the videos that I watched, but later on I did watch a lot of Amazing Facts videos. I went through the Bible studies online, and people like you are very important, because there's people like me who won't go to a church, mm-hmm. and they're not going to listen to someone who comes to knock on their door. We're not going to do anything except for study. So we need to have materials out there for people to study, for people to read, and to decide for themselves what the truth is. So I just want to thank all of you for your job here. And I don't really know what else to say, but praise God. That's all. So let's just pray then. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your word and the truth that shines from the Bible through your son Jesus. We thank you so much for the people who are out there spreading the word, spreading the gospel. Pray that you'd bless each and every one of them. Be with us, Lord. Help us not to neglect our time with you, but to continually continually seek after your face. And be with us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.